blazing saddle. He wore a shining star. His job to offer battle to bad men near and far. He conquered fear and he conquered hate. He turned dark night into day. He made his blazing saddle a torch to light the way. When outlaws ruled the West and fear filled the land, a cry went up for a man with guts to take the West in hand. They needed a man who was brave and true, with justice for all as his aim. Then out of the sun rode a man with a gun, and Bart was his name. Yes, Bart was his name. He rode a blazing saddle. He wore a shining star.
Since our last show, we have taken a trip. Now, I did not mean to lie to you, but I lied to you. I told you we had 10 free trips on Southwest. Actually, what that meant was 5, and since we were both gone, somehow in my weird mind, that made 10. But actually, we have 5 round trips, and we just got another one, so that's 6. And so we have to use these trips. I mean, we'd be nuts not to, but we have 6 free round trips anywhere in the United States. Damn, I wish they flew to Mexico. You know, I said Mexico there, but I meant Hawaii. Idiot. But yeah, talk about that too. Hope this isn't a repeat show. This is 170, right? They would send me to Hawaii for double the trips, like we'd have to give them, have to use 2 trips instead of 1. But no, they don't go to Hawaii no more, no. I didn't like Hawaii that much anyway, although I really appreciated Don Ho for sending me there. But what we did this time, we decided it had been a while since we had been to the Grand Canyon. So Phoenix being one of the very few places that you can fly to directly from Tulsa. Oh, I hate to change planes because, damn, that just takes all afternoon. If you don't get off the plane, it's like just an extra hour. And then if you do have to get off the plane, that's usually an extra 2 hours or whatever. So anyway, fly directly to Arizona, Phoenix, matter of fact, Sky Harbor. We left at 6:30 in the damn morning. Can you believe me? At 6:30 in the morning? But yeah, the plane left at 6:30, landed at 7:30 through the miracle of time travel. And there was nobody on the plane, hardly. There was, like, I think they said 50 people on a plane to hold 140. So that was nice. No line at the airport. Gotta love that. Oh, but I get to the airport. And as you know, I travel with. So it's always so creepy when they go through your bag. But this one lady decided I had something. Mouthwash. Oh, no, it was the Windex. I wear glasses, so I carry a little thing of Windex with me. It beats the hell out of paying $2, $3, $4 for a Windex when you get to the quick trip at your destination. So this lady sees that I have my Windex. It was in a gallon bag because I have to carry all my drugs, my drugs in a big gallon bag. And she said, sir, the liquids have to be in a corn bag. And I'm going, oh, are you kidding me? How effing retarded is that? Meanwhile, I didn't notice behind me, Mrs. Bart, she got the full treatment. She did something wrong, I guess, when she stood in that x-ray machine. So then they patted her down and searched her bag. And when we got to our destination, Sky Harbor, there was a note in her bag that it had been opened too. So I guess I married a terrorist. Look at me. So we get to the Sky Harbor. Oh, also semi-exciting. Southwest had for $5, you could get internet on the airplane. I'd never got internet on the airplane. And boy, it's slow downloading the porn on the airplane, I got to tell you. But for $5, what the hell, to pass the time for 2 hours, that was a bargain, I thought. So we get to the Sky Harbor, and they do that all wrong, but you know, we've been in enough airports, we know who does it right and who does it wrong. They don't do it very well at the Sky Harbor, the rental car thing. Anyway, so we got double the points if we rented from Budget. I'll rent from most places except Alamo. Remember that time they rented me a car that had a wheel that wobbled when you got to 55 miles an hour? Matter of fact, we were in Arizona that time too. Landed in Vegas, rented a piece of shit, some American car from Alamo. And I don't know if the speed limit was maybe 55 there, and then we got to Arizona and went up to 75. Then we noticed it, and by then we were a couple hundred miles away, no way to take it back. So we had to drive that whole vacation 55. Pissed me off.
Mark Cobb, you can have his Chinaco when you pry it from his cold, dead hands.
So when I get to the budget this time, I say, hey, you got anything special? And she says, we're running a sale on a Prius. And I thought, damn, a Prius, electric car. I'm a liberal. Go figure. So I said, I'll take one. And, you know, I'm a big Toyota fan, but I did not like the Prius. Didn't like it hardly at all. For one, I'm not a tall guy. I'm 5'10", but I felt like I had to scrouch down, kind of duck to see out the windshield properly or adequately, whatever. And that just wasn't working for me. And maybe they're shorter in Japan, but, you know, our other Japanese cars have no vision problems, but I felt like I had one there. Also, just the feel of the car just didn't feel right. The doors felt kind of, you know, when you closed them, they felt like the Toyotas of the, like, 80s or 70s. Do you remember the old Toyotas? When they called them little toy cars, ha-ha, Toyotas are so dumb. They're like a toy car. But this kind of had that feel. And there's several things, like the dashboard configuration seemed like it was futuristic for the future of being futuristic. I just didn't like it. But tell you what I did like was the damn mileage. A lot of mountains in Arizona between Phoenix and the Grand Canyon. And even with the mountain driving, we got 44 miles a gallon. People say they get 50, but, you know, that's on the flat, I suppose. But even 44 miles per gallon is pretty damn good when you're used to 30. So we jump in the Prius. We head north. And we're heading north, and we're driving. We take the little cutoff to go through Sedona. Remember we had the Mexican food quiz a couple weeks ago? Said I'm going to eat Mexican food back in a few days, and that was when my computer broke 5 minutes after. That was a Friday night. I posted the last radio show, and computer blew up 5 minutes after that. So when we got back to town Tuesday night. He couldn't come over Wednesday. It was his daughter's birthday or something, and Friday there was some kind of problem. No, Thursday, whatever. It wasn't until the weekend before I got it fixed. People accused me of taking a week off. What the hell's wrong with me? Anyway, the Mexican food quiz was the Javelina Mexican restaurant in Sedona. Now, I'm going to have to put some of these pictures up, because if you've never been to Sedona, I mean, any idiot can Google Sedona scenery, and you can see what I'm talking about, but it is, I started to say, magical, but yeah, that's what they try to tell you when you get there. Anyway, it's a beautiful place. There's these towering red rocks everywhere. You're in the desert, but it's 4,000 feet, so you're in the desert, but it's not hot, and all the super snooty people go there. It's like Santa Fe or, I don't know, Carmel, which are some of the places we really like. Oh, I was going to tell you about the magic. They wisely figured out, the tourism people in Arizona, they tell you they had these vortexes in town. It's like, hello, what's a vortex? Oh, it's a magical place where the spirits come together. It's like, oh, please. You talk about a hand job. It's almost as dumb a story as the Catholic Church, but we don't get into that now. But if you ever go to Sedona, we always thought we'd do that for a kick sometime. But I know what they would do is they'd put us in a Jeep and they would drive us out into the desert. And they'd say, go sit on that rock over there. And, you know, I don't know if you go om or what you do, but, you know, you're in the vortex. Or that is the right word, right? Even when they advertise it, they say, many people find that they have a special feeling of relaxation and mental acuity when they're in the vortex. In other words, you're not going to feel anything, but some people might. You know, it's like, oh, okay, one of those. Go figure, there's some truth in the labeling when you get to Sedona. So we stopped at the Javelina. Oh, and the clue was Anna Nicole Smith. And people thought, aha, you're in Texas, because that's where she's from. But no, we were in Sedona the day she died. So I've been waiting 4 years to go back there, 4 years and a month. So we get to the Javelina at 11 o'clock. And they don't open until 11:30. Damn, that was a long half hour, because we've been up since 4 o'clock, and now it's 11, so that's 7 hours. A high-spirited fellow like myself needs a meal after 7 hours. So we walked around and looked at some of the hoity-toity, what do you call those? Not museums. The little shops that have, they were selling dinosaur teeth for like $1,000. I don't know. Do you need dinosaur teeth? But they, you know, the little art dealers, art galleries, that's what I'm talking about. Finally, the Javelina opened up. I got the usual. Once in my life, I didn't order the usual, and I hated it. But the usual is some shredded beef enchiladas with the rice and the beans. Mmm, boy, we got a big-ass margarita. Going to have a picture of that, too. I was going to go with a shot, and which is a better way to do that, but, you know, it's not even noon yet. And we're on the road drinking hard liquor. Just didn't seem to add up. And I know a margarita is hard liquor, too, but it's got lemony stuff in it and limey stuff, so it's like it don't count. Okay. So we ordered. Oh, and it was so cool. Weather was perfect, just absolutely perfect. And so we sat outside right next to the waterfall. Couldn't have been better. I got pictures of the waterfall. I got pictures of the margarita. I got pictures of the food. I got pictures of the javelina sign. I got pictures of the scene, the scenery that we could see as we ate. Oh, it was fantastic. Couldn't have worked out better. You know, spooky how that works. When we travel, it's half because I'm a pussy and don't want to gamble. I mean, you know, I love to gamble, but not with my ass and my wife. But, yeah, our trips just always work out so well. One time, I think it was 93, it was the weekend Johnny Carson, his last week, we missed a flight out of Buffalo. We flew to Buffalo, and I thought the ticket said 3 o'clock, and it turns out it was noon or something. I had made that mistake in almost 20 years. Anyway, back to the food. So they bring out this big plate of food. It was just huge. You know, if I try to put away some groceries, and it's so rare that you go in a restaurant. A, it's so rare that you go in a restaurant where the food is this good. Oh, but B, that I have trouble finishing my plate. But both were true. You know, I wasn't sure. You know, sometimes this happened in Tulsa sometimes. I'd try out some new Mexican place. This was back in the old days when I had a job. I'd go eat some Mexican place at lunch and think, damn, that's good. I got to bring Mrs. Bart back here. And, you know, we go back there a couple days later for dinner, and it wouldn't be very good. I was like, WTF, your food got a lot worse in 2-3 days, but sometimes it just depends on who the chef of the day is. So, but somehow we got lucky at the Javelina. That's with a J. It looks like javelin, but apparently that's Spanish word for pig. Who knows? But we got lucky both times. Food was absolutely, it was weird. Not to get graphic, but it was just so juicy. You know, this is your shredded and whatever it's called, beef. And, you know, took my first bite and my mouth just flooded with juice. It's like, oh, so good. Oh, boy, I can't believe it's so good. And there was two of them, and they were huge, about the size of my arm in the middle, you know. It's like, damn, that's all that beefy goodness. So we're eating the best Mexican food I've had in maybe 10 years. And beautiful scenery. Got the waterfall next to us. Fine. Well, what did we have? We had maybe Tres Generations Reposado in our margaritas. But, oh, it couldn't have worked out better. It was just so fine. Like I say, we got pictures coming. You'll like it. So, had the best time ever there. But it's time to go. And we headed from there. We headed back north. You know the scenery when you go into Sedona. You get off the highway, and you're only riding like 10 minutes, and boom, the scenery, all these red rocks start sticking about a mile out of the ground. Unbelievably fantastic, beautiful scenery. Just can't get enough of it. And that's on the way into town. So then we had to take some scenery pictures in town. If you ever get to Sedona, go up Airport Road. Wisely, they put the airport on top of a mountain, like a little plateau on top of the mountain. So they have a little pull-off there where you can park your car and take pictures. Just beautiful, just beautiful. The whole... It's like panorama, whatever it's called, when as far as you can see to the left and to the right, it's just beautiful, giant red rocks. Okay, jump back in the car. Then we drove through Oak Creek Canyon, which is how we first heard of Sedona in the first place. Mrs. Bart used to subscribe to Arizona Highways. Arizona, they've got the scenery where they can pull that off. If they did a book called Oklahoma Highways, they'd only do one a year. Because there ain't shit to see in Oklahoma besides... You know, it's so weird when you come to Oklahoma. There's two things to see in Oklahoma. There's the Cowboy Hall of Fame in Oklahoma City, and there's Oral Roberts University in Tulsa. And Oral Roberts University, again, that's the kind of thing you could Google if you had a mind to. It looks a lot like Star Trek, one of the cities they'd visit on Star Trek. They got just weird architecture, and, you know, that's why there's not a book called The Monthly Oklahoma. So we're heading out of Sedona on the Oak Creek Canyon Trail. No, it's not a trail. It's a highway. It's got paint and marks and everything. So that was real nice, though, because, again, you got your babbling brooks and your creeks and all that. Real nice. So that dumps us out right there at Flagstaff. We secured us a room at the Travelodge Flagstaff that was about the worst. I'm trying to think. On Mrs. Bart's 50th birthday, we stayed in a... I'm sure it's in the back issues, stayed in a Days Inn in Colorado Springs. Oh, it was just, she was sick as a dog. We stayed in this moldy room with the damp carpet. It was the worst hotel we stayed in since then. Travelodge, Flagstaff. If you can avoid it, I'm sure the Motel 6 is a better deal. We're in a money-saving mode. So we head up to the Grand Canyon. Last time the Grand Canyon was in our conversation, we did a Recession Fest 09. Recession Fest 010 in Las Vegas. And my good buddy Tom from Michigan and my good buddy the wise guy drove out there together. And I told him, you ever been to the Grand Canyon? They said, no. And I said, dude, you got to go. I mean, you're never going to be close. If you're driving through Flagstaff, that's the closest you're ever going to be to the summit. So you might as well just drive up and see it. And I didn't know it cost $25 to get into Grand Canyon these days. So my good buddy Tom and the wise guy, sorry about that. I had no idea. And they were dirt broke. They had enough money. I gave them like $25 for gas just because they were just barely going to make it out there. And luckily, they had $30 hotel rooms in Vegas. It was a real cheap deal, and I went and talked to them into throwing $25 on top of that. Sorry about that, guys. Anyway, get to the Grand Canyon. And you know what always happens? I get pictures of this, too. There them idiots go climbing out on them rocks, and it's a mile down if you make a mistake. See, that's the kind of thing. I'm not a gambler. You're never going to hear me tell this fantastic story about how I fell off the Grand Canyon and the rescue and how cool it was when the helicopter showed up. Noonie. I ain't going to tell you none of them stories because I keep my damn feet on the damn ground. But I got one picture in particular. This idiot girl, she held on to some kind of little bush or something, and she's leaning over the edge. And I took a picture of her thinking, lady, if you go over, maybe your family would appreciate your last picture. Hell, I might have caught her in mid-fall. I might have could have won an award with that, but I just don't know why people insist. I mean, it's the goddamn Grand Canyon. I don't know how many miles you can see. Maybe 30, maybe 50, but the idea that you want to get 10 feet closer, are you kidding me? It's the Grand Canyon. Why do people want to get 10 feet closer to the Grand Canyon and risk their lives? I just don't know. Grand Canyon's changed a lot since we've been here. Well, it's a lot more crowded. And remember now, this is a Sunday in March. You just wouldn't figure that would be jam-packed Sunday in March. But it was there. We got near the Grand Canyon Village, and we just said, fuck it, and turned around because it was just a madhouse. And really, on a march, on a Sunday, really. All right, from there, not a whole lot more to tell about the story after that. But one thing we did, the plane coming back was leaving Sky Harbor at 7 o'clock. I got friends who like to wait until the last second to get their plane. That ain't me. That ain't me at all. The plane was at 7:30. So I told Ms. Bart, I want to be in Phoenix like by 3 o'clock. I don't want to be an hour away from Phoenix an hour before we're supposed to be there. You know how it should work if everything goes right. Well, things don't always go right. If we get a flat tire, if we get lost, another thing about this Prius, it had 23,000 miles on it, and it scares me. We get to the Grand Canyon and a sign comes on the dashboard that says remote batteries low. And I'm thinking, well, great. I look down and there's no key. It's one of those fancy Dobbs, I think they call them, where you hold it next to the button and you press it. But I'm thinking, well, great. So we're at the Grand Canyon. If the battery dies, I don't have a key to start the car. So what do we do then? They have Wi-Fi at the Grand Canyon. How the hell do they pull that off? When you get to each pull-off at the Grand Canyon, you turn on your Wi-Fi and they tell you about what you're looking at, which is way damn cool how to do that. But congrats to the Grand Canyon for having the Wi-Fi at all their pull-offs. But we had to worry about the damn key. So that's another reason I wanted to get back to town. If the key dies in Phoenix, then we're a cab ride away from getting home. We can call, hey, your damn car's on Highway 6 or whatever. So we get back to Phoenix, and we got 3-4 hours to kill before we have to go to the airport. So what did we do? I tested a theory, and I don't know what the results mean, but let me tell you what we did. You know, Phoenix and Vegas, and I guess parts of California and Florida, were hit the hardest by the housing crash. It's the only part of Phoenix we know real well. Why don't I think before I talk? The part of Phoenix we know best would be the airport and Scottsdale, because that's where my oncologist is, who I haven't been to see. Remember, that's good. That's good news. They said, come back when you feel bad, and I don't feel bad. So, hey, big party. So we know our way around Scottsdale. So I told her, let's do this. Let's go to Scottsdale and drive around and look at all the homes that are for sale. Maybe we could even call and see one. You know, so love to do that. Me and Miss Bart, we love to, and we expected to find hundreds of fancy homes for sale, but nuh-uh, there wasn't. There was hardly any homes for sale, which I don't know what that means. Is it not worth the bank's time and money to to put up a sign. Again, we were just expecting to see hundreds of homes for sale. We saw a handful. We saw maybe three or five or something, which is ridiculous. Hell, you can see three or five homes for sale on a block in Tulsa. We don't have any kind of money problems. The crash didn't hit us. The ones that did have a for sale sign up, we called them, and they weren't answering the damn phone. Isn't that interesting? You're a real estate salesman in Scottsdale / Phoenix, and you got a phone call, somebody wanting to talk about how much is this house, and they don't answer the phone. It went directly to voicemail. It happened again and again, maybe five times. We did not speak. Wait, we did speak to one realtor. I called him. I hit the thing on the iPhone, said, give me some realtor names. And one came up, and I called a lady and said, we're in town. We got a couple hours to kill. Can you point me to the million-dollar houses? What part of town's got the million-dollar houses? And she told us, and we went there. And they didn't look like million-dollar houses. In Tulsa, see, once again, in Tulsa, if you got a million-dollar house in Tulsa, it looks like Jennifer Aniston's house, if you know what I mean. I mean, slight exaggeration. But these million-dollar homes in Phoenix, they look like a $300,000 home in Tulsa. And I still don't get that. In Phoenix, you know, it's a... It's like oven. Last time I was at the Mayo Clinic, this nurse that took my blood was saying, when I came here, they told me it was like oven. I thought, oh, you must be exaggerating. And then when I got here, it was like oven. But yeah, even with like oven, why do you pay $300 or $400 per square foot? I don't get it. Our home here in Casa de Bart is newish construction. We paid $84 a foot. And you know, in L.A., we're watching a house and garden show. We saw this little house in Pasadena, 1,000 square feet, $1 million. Are you kidding me? You pay $1,000 a foot to live in Pasadena when you could pay $84 to live in Tulsa? Granted, Tulsa's a little on the backward side, but for 1/10 or 0.8% of the money? Are you kidding me? So that's what we did. We drove around, looked at homes. They all looked the same. See, that's another weird thing, and it might be because of the temperature, but they all got those orange roofs. And they don't have any lawns. They just have rocks in front of the house. It looked like some kind of army housing or something where you drive down the street and there'd be 10 or 20 houses in a row that were identical. It's like, really? I don't understand. If you're broke and you have to have a place to stay, you might get in an apartment that looks like all the other apartments. But why would you buy a house that looks like every other damn house on the block? Confuse me. Okay, closing up here now. Oh, Christ. Almost out of CD space. So get back to the airport. Turning that Prius that I was not a fan. I was real shocked. I thought I was going to be a big, big fan, but I was a fan of the mileage. Turned the car back in. So we get on the flight again. Nobody on the flight. I got to remember that. Next time we travel, and we got either five or six more trips. But we got to remember that. Get out here super early in the morning, come home late at night. And really, all we wanted to do is fly direct. Because anyway, successful trip. Grand Canyon, Mexican food, fine tequila. Can't go wrong. Another thing I need to mention in the before we close up, my good buddy and radio partner Corey is in the hospital. I looked on his Facebook page, and he said something about food poisoning. I've been there, buddy. I got me some food poisoning last year. Went to the hospital 2 times because the idiot gave me 5 pills and said, here, this will knock it out, and it's supposed to take 10 pills. So I went to the hospital 2 times last year because the doctor fucked up. Corey, my good buddy, I imagine by the time you hear this, you'll be out of the hospital. But get well real soon. Your country needs you. Now I think all I need to do is do the shot of Chinook and we start the main show. Very, very nice. Boy, where would I be without the Chinook? All right, let's get into the big, big show.
You're listening to Bar Cop Radio. A modem, a smart mouth, and the truth.